Thank you, worship team. Beautifully done again. Thank you so much. So today I'm going to finish up 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And these letters have been filled with thanksgiving for the church. One theme has come up over and over again, and that is this theme of the second coming of Christ. 7 of the 8 chapters in 1 and 2 Thessalonians tell us, teach us, Christ is coming back. You believe that, don't you? Christ is coming back. And the proper way to belong to this day is to be encouraged and to be comforted by it. I've met too many people who are afraid of the second coming of Christ. And that isn't the right response. We should be comforted by it and encouraged by the fact that Christ is coming again. So now we're in the last chapter of 2 Thessalonians. And guess what? There's no mention of the second coming of Christ. No mention at all. Instead, Paul calls on the church to get back to business. Do you remember in Acts 1... when the disciples went up on the Mount of Olives and Jesus ascended into the heavens and they watched him ascend and they stood there staring in the sky. And what happened next? The angel showed up and said, yes, Jesus will come back in the same way. And then they said to the disciples, why are you standing there staring in the sky? Remember that? It was like a little nudge to them to get back to work. Well, that's what I think is happening here in the last chapter of 2 Thessalonians. Paul is like those angels, nudging those Christians, reminding them, yes, he's coming back. He's coming back, but why are you standing there staring in the sky? It's time for you to get back to business. Now, in this last chapter, Paul has also waited to bring up one final problem for the church to deal with, and that is the matter of work. There was a problem with work. So here's the title today, The Busy and the Busybody. And the outline is first, the busy Christian, second, the busybody Christian. And again, you just can't pay me enough for these unbelievable, incredible outlines. So let's go through these today. First, the busy Christian. The busy Christian is busy praying. Verse 1, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified just as it was also with you, and that we would be rescued from troublesome and evil people, for not all have faith. So the first thing Paul calls the busy Christians to do is to pray. Pray for us, he says. And it's a three-part prayer. Pray for people to hear the gospel. Pray for people to honor the gospel. That means glory in it, receive it, treasure in it. And also pray for protection from the enemies of the gospel, those people who oppose the gospel, enemies of the faith. So Paul is the example of a busy Christian, busy praying for the advance of the gospel swiftly, joyfully, just as it did in Thessalonica. Now just think about all the cities in the world today where people need to hear the gospel and treasure the gospel. Think about all your friends and neighbors and family members who do not know the Lord, or do not honor Him as their Savior and Lord. The busy Christian is working in prayer for them. We could say we have not really worked for the Lord until we are busy praying to the Lord. And we could say we haven't really worked for our family, our marriage, our church, our community, or the lost until we get busy praying. Next week, I'm starting a new series on prayer. I feel the need to pray. I want the church to pray, so the new series will be called Just Pray. Just Pray. So we'll do that leading up to Easter. Andrew Murray said, prayer not only teaches and strengthens one for work, but it is work that teaches and strengthens one for prayer. So work and prayer go hand in hand for the Christian. The next thing a busy Christian does is they are busy obeying. Verse 4, we have confidence in the Lord concerning you that you are doing and will do what we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the perseverance of Christ. So this is the second thing Paul calls the busy Christians to do, and that is to obey. Verse 4, we have confidence you will do what we command. And verse 5 is not a command. It's more like a charging station for our obedience, a heart that is beating in the love of God and the patience of Christ. That is a heart that's ready and willing to obey. It was Augustine in the 4th century that said in so many words, we don't have a sin problem, we have a love problem. We don't have a disobedience problem, we have a love problem. Because a disobedient Christian has a love problem. Because when you disobey the Lord, you just show that you've forgotten His love and you've forgotten the patience of Christ. And we're probably chasing after other things instead. Obedience is God's love language. Jesus said so in John 14:21. The one who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will reveal myself to him. The more we love the Lord, the more we obey the Lord, the more we know the Lord. It's just a win-win situation. So the busy Christian is busy in the love of God, the patience of Christ, and that is seen in ongoing obedience to Christ. Next, the busy Christian is busy imitating. Verse 7. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined way among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with labor and hardship, we kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have the right to this, but in order to offer ourselves as a role model for you so that you would follow our example. So the third thing a busy Christian does is imitate. Every Christian should imitate those who follow hard after Christ. Imitate me, Paul says. Paul is an example of a disciplined, hard-working Christian. And Paul worked hard to plant and grow this church in Thessalonica. But since the church was so young, and also remember they were persecuted at this time, Paul did not ask them for financial support. Instead, he supported them. He gave to them by choosing to work day and night to help get the church on its feet. Now that's a role model. Every Christian needs a role model. Someone to imitate, someone to look up to, someone who is like Christ, someone who serves as a good example. Moms and dads and ministry leaders, big brothers and sisters, consider that people are watching your life. And the best way we can witness for the Lord is to set a good example. I think it would be so much easier to be a Christian, so much easier to follow Christ if we had more positive role models, don't you? Let's be those people. My youth pastor always said to us, be like Christ and help others to be like Christ. That's pretty simple. That sums up the matter, I think, pretty well. So a busy Christian is busy conforming their lives to Christ and being that role model that our families need. Next, the busy Christian is just busy doing good. Verse 13, but as for you, brothers and sisters, do not grow weary in doing good. So that's the fourth thing a busy Christian does. They do not grow weary. The NIV says, never tire in doing good. Never tire in doing good. At the end of chapter 2, Paul prays the same thing. May the Lord Jesus Christ encourage your hearts in every good work. So a heart that is encouraged is a heart that is doing good. A heart that is encouraged is a heart that is doing good. You have heard that if you want something done, give it to a busy person. Have you heard that? Well, why not give it to someone who's not busy? Well, there's a reason they're not busy. If you want something done, give it to a busy person. Because it's true, busy people know the joy of doing good things, and so they want to do more. They're just in that groove of getting more good things done. So let's thank God for these high-capacity brothers and sisters that we know in the church, in the home, in the community, who get so much good done for the Lord. May they, may we, never grow weary. So let's stop right here. Let's review. Paul is describing the busy Christian. Busy praying, busy obeying, busy imitating, busy doing good, not growing weary in these things. But now we're going to run into the problem. The problem in verses 11 and 12. There were people who were busybodies in the church. And yes, they were believers. So let's look at this. Verse 11, the busybody Christian. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now we command and exhort such persons in the Lord Jesus Christ to work peacefully and eat their own bread. So there's the problem in two verses. What is a busybody? Well, there's a play on words here in the Greek, which we can't see in our English Bibles. The word for busybodies means working enough and more to spare. In other words, the busybodies are working overtime. Busybodies are working overtime. They're not doing nothing. They're working overtime. Busy doing useless and annoying things, wasting time, wasting our time too. The busybody has too much time on their hands, time to meddle in others' business. Beware of the busybodies. Warn the busybodies. John Cassian explains there's three problems with the busybodies. First, they were idle. A better translation is they were disorderly, undisciplined, unruly. And they were also disobedient, meaning they were not walking according to Paul's teaching and Paul's example. The second problem is they're not working at all. They're choosing not to work, even though they're able-bodied, they're perfectly healthy. For some reason, they've just chosen not to work. And third, that means they were meddling. They were sticking their noses in everybody else's business. Have you ever met anyone like that? That's not you, is it? I heard about a roofer who was fired the other day, and he asked his boss why he was fired. And his boss said, it's because you're a busybody. Well, what's that? What did I do wrong? He said, you're always eavesdropping on the job. That was a pretty bad joke. So the busybodies are everywhere, especially in government these days. Moral busybodies, creating problems, solving problems that don't exist for other people to clean up a mess, of course, that they never clean up. The busybody is like that study partner you had in school who jokes and gossips while you do all the homework and it takes twice as much time. The word undisciplined describes the busybody best. The word describes troops in the military who are not in battle order. So Paul uses command language here. He commands them to get in line, get back to work, focus, and work to provide for themselves. Who were these busybodies? Well, we don't really know what's going on. I'll give you a few guesses. They may have been Christians who were sick with eschatological fever. In other words, they were the ones staring in the clouds, waiting for Jesus to come back. And they said, well, what's the point of working? What's the point of going to school? Jesus is coming back. Maybe I missed it. So they had no incentive to go back to work because they were staring in the sky all the time. And that may be what was going on. It may have been Christians who disdained regular manual labor because they had spiritual work to do and they didn't really believe in sweat equity. It was below them. Maybe they were Christians who were poor and they thought the wealthy Christians in the church should share and take care of them. In other words, maybe they were envious and their envy kept them away from regular work. Maybe the situation was cultural. There was at this time wealthy Roman patrons who hired clients, and the clients didn't have to work. All they had to do was run a few favors and give them a few votes when they needed it. So maybe they were clients of patrons and they just culturally didn't have to work for their own food because they were living off of someone else. Or maybe, just maybe, they were lazy. They just didn't like to work. And they figured out a way to be industrious to get a handout instead. Does that ever happen? So we know whatever it was, we don't know the situation, but we know it was a problem, and it was in the church, and it was there from the very beginning, because in verse 10, Paul says, even when we were with you, so this would have been months ago, maybe a year ago, when he was first in this city, he said, when we were with you, we used to give this order, if anyone is not willing to work, then he's not to eat either. So months have gone by, maybe a year, and it's still the same problem, still the same group. They're not back to work, and they're bothering everybody else, especially Paul. So Paul calls them out publicly in this letter. I mean, they're in the Bible. Don't follow them. They're busybodies. He calls them out and he tells them to get back to work and mind their own business. So what is the solution? How do you solve this problem? Well, there's just one more thing for the busy Christians to do. And that is the busy Christian is busy admonishing their brothers and sisters who are busybodies. Verse 6, now we command you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother or sister. So these are all Christians. The brothers and sisters must admonish other brothers and sisters in the church who lead disorderly life and not in accordance with the tradition which you receive from us. Verse 15, and yet do not regard that person as an enemy. They're not your enemy. Don't kick them out of the church. Just discipline them. Admonish them that one as a brother or sister. So here's the solution. Some church discipline is in order here. When a Christian brother and sister in the church won't discipline themselves, their time, their money, their work, their leisure, their tongue, then the people in the church who love them will bring them discipline to teach them. A church is like a family. All the members need love. And sometimes love means discipline to bring that undisciplined child of God back in order. Everybody knew who these busybodies were, so it seems to me Paul is tightening the screws on these screwballs, if I can put it that way. You don't want to reward dysfunction. Never reward dysfunction, because you'll get more of it. Whatever you reward, you get more of. So do not reward dysfunction. Do not reward the busybodies. Shun them, he says. Keep your distance from them. Do not reward them. Admonish them to get busy praying, obeying, imitating, and doing good like the rest of the body. So there's the warning, and hopefully they will repent, because it is their undisciplined life that's hindering the church and hindering the witness of the gospel and robbing their peace. An undisciplined Christian robs our peace. That's what he's saying. And think about it. Who can really be a good disciple without some good discipline? Who can really be a good disciple without some good discipline? So here's the summary. The busy Christian has five things to do in this final chapter. While we wait expectantly for Christ to come, we are busy praying, busy obeying, busy imitating, busy doing good, and busy admonishing brothers and sisters in the body who need discipline in their personal lives so as to not distract from the gospel work of the church. So this has been an uncomfortable subject, but Paul tackles it head on. He does not ignore it because he wants his brothers and sisters to be disciplined and grow. So the question is, are you a busy Christian? Are you a busybody Christian? How do you know the difference? Hopefully, we are not those who are staring in the heavens and not busy doing the work of the Lord. Amen. One final verse in Romans 12:11. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Amen. Today we're going to remember the work of our Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf. When he lived a perfect life, when he died on the cross for our sins, when he rose again for our justification to give us eternal life.